nothing like seeing people get saved. And I want you young people to get a burden for souls. Get a burden for souls. Ask God to burden your heart for souls. And the Lord will use you. I sat with the mayor of our city last Monday, a week ago this last Monday. So it's been about almost 2 weeks ago. I sat with our mayor, 58 years old, very, 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 very progressive, very liberal in her politics. And I sat with her and I said, listen, I just came by to introduce myself to you, to let you know that I pray for you every day. I want to be a blessing to you. I want our church to serve in this city. We want to help you in this community. And I said, but I came here today just to find out how are you doing? Personally, you. And man, she said, you know, Pastor, I'm not doing well. She said, there's so much anger in the world and everybody's angry and everybody thinks that I'm the problem. And I didn't want to say, but I'm like, you know, kind of. But I didn't say that. So we talked about that for a little bit and we just talked through some things, and it was a really interesting conversation. She asked me, she said, here's what, she's very progressive, very liberal. Here's what she said to me. She said, I'm just under attack all the time. And then she said, Pastor, where are the men? I was blown away by that question. So I just was asking the Lord for wisdom, and I said, well, let me ask you something, Mayor Jenny. Have you ever heard of masculine toxicity? Or toxic masculinity? She said, yeah. I said, that's where the men are. We've been told to step aside. That our masculinity is bad. I said, when our masculinity is exactly what you need. You need men to be men and to lead. God made us to be men, not monsters. But every once in a while, you need a man to look at a monster. And that let that monster know, I can be a monster.
Yeah, that's
right. I said, and that's what God made men for. Yeah. She says, yeah, I'm realizing that. Yeah. Then, at the end, I said, so let me ask you this. I said, I want to ask you two things, personal questions. Do you know God? And do you know for sure that you would go to heaven when you die? And she said, no, and I don't know. She said, I was raised Unitarian. She said, so this is what she said. This is weird. I've never had anybody ever say this to me before. She said, so when my earth suit deceases, that's what she was calling her body, an earth suit. Anybody ever heard a body called an earth suit? I've never heard that. She said, when my earth suit deceases, I don't know where my energy goes. And I said, well, let me tell you that your body is going to die. And you have a soul that's going to live forever somewhere. And you know that. She said, I do. And I said, well, let me tell you what happened. And I walked through the Garden of Eden. And I walked through the sinfulness of man. And I walked all the way to Calvary. And I said, God sent his son because he loved Jenny. And he did something supernaturally 2,000 years ago. God took all of Jenny's sins and put them on Jesus. And when Jesus was dying, he said something really interesting. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. What was he talking about? He was talking about your redemption, your forgiveness, and your way to God was done. All you have to do is receive him as your personal Savior. She sat forward in her chair, tears in her eyes. She said, I've never heard that before. My wife and I are working with a young man who graduated from Colorado State University. He asked me one day, he was doing some work for us, and he asked me one day, he said, why are you guys religious? I said, well, we're not religious. He said, well, you're a pastor. I said, yeah, I am a pastor, but I'm not religious. I said, I don't practice religion. I have a relationship. God is my father. I am his child of God. He said, aren't we all God's children? I said, no. No, we're not. Let me tell you how you become. And so here's the kid. Listen to me. In Colorado State University in a Colorado, in an American college, grew up in an American city, grew up in this country, never heard of Adam and Eve. No fakery, no pretense, no putting on. He was engaged as I was telling him the story of the Bible. I said, listen, the Bible's not a hard book. The first three chapters of the Bible tell us where we came from and how we got in the mess that we're in. God made us, and it didn't take us long to blow it. That's the first three chapters. The last two chapters tells us where everybody's going to go, either hell and burn forever or heaven into eternal happiness with God. The rest of the Bible is God telling you how to be redeemed. It's God's plan to save you. Okay? So I started telling him, he's never heard of Adam and Eve, never heard of Noah. When I got to the cross, he did this. Kyle did this. When I got to the cross, he went, that's why churches have crosses? Yeah. Why would they have a cross if somebody died on it? I said, because that's the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Man, we came to Jesus and we got saved. Listen, he's blown away. Do you know there are people in our cities, in our schools, who've never heard the gospel? Some of you don't believe that because you never talked to anybody. But you get out and talk to some people, you're going to find out that there are people who don't know anything. And we can show them. You got the good news. You can blow people's minds. It's amazing. It is so much fun. Some of you need to get a burden to go to your school and start telling the gospel. Some of you need to get a burden to go up and down your street and tell people the gospel. The world needs the gospel. Don't they? Yes. So, look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Man, we are gonna have a time right now. John chapter 14. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Do I have a witness? Amen. Bless his holy name. Do you know that when Jesus taught us how to pray, do you know what he taught us to pray? He said, when you pray, I want you to pray after this manner. Now, not repeat these words. You know, we don't have to sit in the room and, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But he said, when you pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start off with our Father. When you start praying, pray in the relationship that he is my Father and I am his son. I'm a child of God and I'm coming into my Father's room. Dad, I'm coming in whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Man, what a joy. Then he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is worship. We just worship him. Listen, don't just run in to God and throw him your church bulletin prayer sheet like a laundry list or like a grocery shopping list. God, can you take care of all these people with cancer and run out? Come in there and just worship him and praise him. Man, it's a good thing. So when you pray, just get some worship. Listen, don't go to church on Sunday to worship God. Bring your worship with you. Worship him all week long and then bring that with you. Everybody with me? Okay, everybody stand up real quick. Some of you are looking sleepy. Stand up. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is in the room with his disciples. He's about to die. He's going away. He looks at his disciples and says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for
you.
Somebody look next to you and just look at the person next to you and say, he went to prepare a place for you. Now look the other way and say, he went to prepare a place for you. Now turn around and look at the person behind you and say, he went to prepare a place. Then you can't. All right. Now, so he went to prepare a place for
you.
And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again. Everybody say that with me. I
will come again.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus, this is Bible prophecy. I'm going to go and I'm going to come back. Did he go? Has he come back? No. What are we supposed to do? Let not your hearts be troubled. We believe in God. We're believing in him. He's coming back. Everybody say, Jesus is coming back.
Jesus is coming back.
Now watch this. Watch this. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That means where he is, we're going to be. Did you hear that? Do you know that you, if you're saved, you're going to live with Christ forever? You're going to be in heaven forever. Those of you that got saved last night, you're going to live with Christ forever. And wherever he is, you're going to be there. And can I tell you, listen to me, that's what heaven is. Heaven is wherever Jesus is. Heaven is not streets of gold and gates of pearl and mansions and swimming pools full of chocolate. Because I want that. That's going to be awesome. I'm going to have a huge swimming pool and it's going to be full of chocolate. Brother Charlie doesn't like chocolate, so he's not invited. I'm going to be swimming in that thing. Man, it's going to be amazing. Listen, heaven is not gates of pearl. Streets of gold. Heaven is where Jesus is. Now, do you know where he is? Let's watch this. Thomas asked a great question. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said in verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from now on, ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? They're like, Jesus, show us God. Philip. I've been with you a long time. I am him. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am God. I mean, Jesus knows how your algebra teacher feels. Haven't we? So where is the X? I see the X. I found it. No, we're not finding it. We're solving it. Okay. Every algebra teacher has a drinking problem. It's why they're so grumpy. They're hungover every day. Because they're coming into class with you going, have I not? I've been doing this all semester, you moron. Jesus is like, have I been so long with you, Philip? And you don't get it yet. He said, Philip, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show me the Father? Like, why are those words coming out of your mouth? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe on me for the very work's sake. He said, listen, I'm telling you, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. When you've seen me, you've seen God. When you've seen God, you've seen me. I'm in the Father's in me. His word is in me. He does the work in me. You've seen the works, right? Like blind people are like seeing. Crippled people are like running. Dead people are like me, walking around. Lepers are cleansed. That guy that was a leper, when he takes a bath, the soap isn't getting bigger anymore. That's what happens with lepers. When they wash, the soap gets bigger. If you know anything about leprosy, that's a nasty thing right there. It's all pus and skin. The leper colony one time wanted to start a football team, but they couldn't because they kept having a handoff in the backfield. It's like, okay, let's try hockey. Oh, face off in the corner. I had a leper one time in our church, and I had him sing a special, and he got up and sang, "Leprosy, all my skin is falling off of me. I'm not half the man I used to be, all because of leprosy." Philip, have you seen the works? Like, did you see lame man river dancing? Did you see blind man seeing stuff? Did you see the deaf guy hearing things? I am God. The Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. He was blowing their minds. Then he says something really amazing. Verse 12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. Let's stop right there. Let's be honest with God and ourselves. How many of you have believed on Jesus Christ? So I want you to say this right now. He's talking about me. No, say that right now. He's talking about me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Like, what is he talking about? Well, we're going to find out. Lord, these next few moments, there is something so vitally missed. The devil wants us ignorant. We want to be oblivious. But Lord, there is a truth that you've given to us that is so simple, yet so real, so profound, that will change the life of every person in this room. I need it. Every pastor needs it. Every youth pastor, every junior higher, every senior. Every one of us need this truth today. So I'm asking for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus was trying to teach the disciples about the Trinity. And let me tell you something, people. They didn't get it. That God is three in one. Three persons, one God. You say, how does that work? I don't know. Try to understand it, you'll lose your mind. Fail to believe it, you'll lose your soul. God the Father is God, God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the disciples didn't understand all that. But Jesus was about to introduce to them that he and the Father were one. Then he's going to turn around and say, now listen to me guys, you're not getting it. I've been telling you that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. And the works that I'm doing is God doing the work through me. My Father is where I didn't come to work my works. I came to work the works of him that sent me. Yeah. I don't do my will. I do the Father's will. The words that I speak are his words. The works that I do are his works. The things that you see in me are the things of God, because I am in God and God in me. And I'm going away. Now don't let your heart be troubled. Because when I go away, you that believe on me are going to do works that I do greater than I do them. What? Philip is still wondering about the first thing. Like, So you're the Father? I mean, you're God? And he's still wondering about that. Trying to work all that through. Everybody with me? And I don't feel bad for Philip, because we'd all been in the same boat. People call doubting Thomas. I'm so glad he asked questions, because I'm a doubter. So then Jesus says something. He's like, hey, listen, you're going to do greater works. Now, let's be honest with you, or with each other. How many of you would say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ? I've trusted Christ, but I'm not doing those kind of works. I'm not doing what Christ did. And I'm not talking about making blind people see. Remember, Jesus didn't make every blind person see. He didn't make every lame person walk. He didn't heal every leper. He didn't raise every dead person. Jesus didn't come to fix the bodies and make us see better and hear better. Jesus came and showed through physical miracles what he could do to the eternal soul. He didn't come to make the body better. He came to save man's soul. He came to heal you spiritually. Now watch what he says. Verse number 16. He said, I'm going to go away. And he said in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Everybody say it out loud. For how long?
Forever.
Well, who is this? Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, to this point, listen to me, to this point, the Holy Spirit did not indwell anyone. But Jesus was just blowing their mind. Philip was just starting to get through this idea that, okay, the Father and the Son are one. And then Jesus says, oh, and by the way, the Spirit of God is with you. So the Father's here, the Son is here, the Spirit is here. And when I go away, I'm going to ask the Father to send the Spirit to you. And he's going to be with you forever. Right now he's with you. In this moment, in this room, in John 14, 2,000 years ago, he is with you. But there's going to come a moment where he's going to be in you. Did you see that? He's with you, but shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, wait a minute. Is this Jesus saying I'm coming again? No. He already said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I'm done with that, I'm going to come and get you and receive you to myself. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm going to go away. He said, Philip, the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. Got it? And then I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to come in you, and when he comes in you, I'm coming in you. So just like I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, I'm going to be with the Father, and the Spirit's going to be in you, and I'm going to be in you. Everybody with me? They weren't getting it. They didn't know this, but they were going to get it. Whether they liked it or not, the Holy Spirit was coming. The day of Pentecost, here he came. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. He came in them. Now watch this. Watch this, verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He said, listen, the day the Holy Spirit comes, I'm going to be gone. The world's not going to see me, but you're going to see me. You're going to have life. The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't have life, but you're going to have life. You're going to have this life in you. Here's the thing. Because the world's not going to see me, but I'm going to be with the Father, and the Father in me, and I'm going to be in you. How many of you are confused right now? How many of you, if you were in that room, would be like, oh, so what's the way? Where are you going? Who's the Father? How many of you would have been confused? Raise your hand right now if you'd have been confused. Okay, very good. Now watch this. Verse number 21. He that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Now watch this. And will manifest or make myself known to him. Young people, listen very carefully. Don't miss this. Many of us think too small about what happened in the Garden of Eden. We think, you know, Adam ate an apple, and now everybody dies. That doesn't seem fair. It seems like all the suffering and all the troubles and all the trials and all the things that go on in this world, the atrocities, the murders, the thefts, the wars, the disease, the cancers, the broken families, the wages of sin is death, and it seems like it was too much for just a little act that Adam did. But Adam didn't do a little act. You see, the creature that God made from the dirt looked at the infinite, almighty God and said, I don't want you. And rejected God for his own desires. Sin is the rejection of God. Sin is the rejection of God. And when you reject God, what moves in? Death by sin. Because where God is, there is life. Where God is absent, there is death. Everybody with me? So Adam, when he sinned, died immediately. Now, he didn't go, he didn't die. He died. He died in the most cruel way a man can die. He died spiritually. You see, listen to me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Everybody say that with me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. God made us in his image. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So they did. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath of God, which is the pneuma of God, the spirit of God. He gave man spirit, and man became a living soul. So man was a spirit, a soul in a body. Listen to me. You are not a body that has a soul. You are a soul that has a body. That's a significant point. But the spirit of man is the part of man that put man in touch with the world above him. God could come into the garden and God could communicate with man. Man could fellowship with God. He could hear God, understand God. Remember, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit of a man was comprehending. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Listen to me very carefully. Everybody look at me. Paul then asks, who can know the spirit of a man except those who have the spirit of a man? What's he saying? Go home today when you get home and grab your little puppy dog and explain this youth conference to your puppy. Grab your puppy. Everybody tell me your puppy's name. 1, 2, 3. Ready? Okay, so tell that puppy this. Say, oh, listen. You want to know what I did? I got on a bus. And I went to Evansville, Indiana. And I played games. We were throwing balls in a box. We went roller skating. We put wheels on our feet and we skated. The dog's going to be like, and then we heard people preaching the Bible and we sang songs. Now, how many of you think your dog is going to understand what you say? No, you think you do. Listen, people think that your dog, people say, my dog knows what I say. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He knows how you say it. You come in that room and you're like, who wants a treat? Oh, he's so happy. Who wants a treat? The dog goes to the bathroom on the carpet and you come in and you're like, who did that? Did you do that? And you're like, my dog understands me. My dog knows what I'm saying. No, he doesn't. Go in that room one day and say, who wants to get hit by a car? Who wants to get hit by a car? You want to go in the street? Go in the street, smash your brains out everywhere. Walk in that room and say, who wants a treat? Do you want a treat? I've got a steak for you. The dog has no idea what you're saying. No one can, listen, go home and explain algebra to your dog. Tell your dog about taxes and the IRS and the voting problems that we have. Tell your dog about the Chinese spy balloon in the sky. Explain to your dog while you're looking at this thing, scrolling and hashtagging. Go home and ask your dog what TikTok is. You know who can't understand the spirit of a man? The spirit of a dog. Men understand men. Now listen to me. One of the reasons why people don't understand God is they don't have the spirit of God in them. Now watch this. When Adam died, he was cut off from the life of God. He was cut off from being able to know fellowship with God. He couldn't commune with God. He couldn't walk in the cool of the garden. Adam died, listen to me, Adam died immediately in his spirit. Adam died progressively in his soul. The word soul in the Bible is psuche, where we get our word psyche. It's the intellectual part of man. It's his will, it's his emotions, and it is his intellect. Your soul is the part of you that thinks and feels and chooses and decides. It's who you are. It's your personality. It's you. That's your the psychological person. The spirit of a man puts him in touch with the world above him. The soul of a man puts him in touch with the world around him. My soul can communicate with your soul. My soul talks to your soul. You understand that? We have emotion. We have will. We have intellect. But Adam died in that soul every day. Oh, how Adam died in his mind and in his soul and in his emotions. When Eve came running in and she said, Abel's dead. And Adam said, how? Cain killed him. And to see a mother and father have to bury a son murdered by another son. The anguish, the agony, the trauma, the hurt, the bitterness, the agony, the pain. Adam lived with that every day. To get up every day and see the grave of Abel. To be separated from his son Cain. It crushed him in his soul. Adam died eventually in his body. He was in his 900s, but his body finally died. That's what sin did. But let me tell you what Jesus did. He reversed that. When Jesus died on the cross, and he said to men, come unto me that you might have life and more abundantly. When we get saved, listen, we're made alive immediately in our spirit. We now have a spirit that fellowships with God. As we read the Bible and grow and we understand the Lord, we're made alive day by day by day in our mind and our emotions and our will. Our will is surrendered to Him and our emotions are surrendered to Him and our intellect is surrendered to Him. We're made alive every day, more and more and more every day. We're made alive in Christ. And then eventually we'll be made alive in our bodies. Our bodies are going to be resurrected, and corruption's going to put on incorruption. Mortal's going to put on immortality. And I'm going to have a body like Jesus, a body with no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no heartache, no disease, no death. A body in which I can enjoy God forever. But now listen to me. Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples that all that was coming, but right now, when you are saved, those that you believe, you're going to have a new spirit. And that spirit is going to be the Holy Spirit, who's going to come to dwell in you. So right now, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Young people, listen to me. God lives in you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He lives in you. Now, let me tell you a couple things that Jesus was teaching about this. Number one, look at verse 16. Let me show you that something. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father. Remember, he's going away, and I'm going to ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, let me tell you what happens when you get saved. The Holy Spirit, what Jesus was teaching was the Holy Spirit is going to come into the believer to, number one, restore the presence of Christ in us. Everybody say that with me, ready? Restore the presence of Christ in us. When we were in our sins, we were cut off from God, enemies of God. We were soulish. We were wicked. We were in our transgressions. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But when he quickened us and made us alive, he restored the presence of Christ in us. Now, the Holy Spirit brings the life of Jesus into you. Listen, everybody, look right at this way. Look right at me. If you are saved today, the Holy Spirit has brought Christ into your life. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was present with men and would come upon them. But in the New Testament, he would dwell in them. Listen to me. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. You know, you young people need to get a capture of this. You need to get an understanding that you are the temple of God. That God dwells in you. And everywhere you go, he goes. And Christ is in you. We sang that song a moment ago. Man, I want to sing it again. Christ in me. He's in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Christ in me. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Jesus is in me. You see, listen. The Holy Spirit is going to come abide. That word abide means he's going to dwell personally. He's going to live in you. He's going to tabernacle in you. He's going to abide in you. Let me just tell you what this means. What this means is, listen, the Holy Spirit is Christ in the Christian. The Holy Spirit, listen, just like God was in, the Father was in the Son, and the Son was in the Father, and when the Son goes to the Father, he's going to pray to the Father that he'll send the Spirit, and when the Spirit of God comes, he'll come in you, and when he comes in you, Christ is in you. You say, well, who lives in me, the Holy Spirit or Christ? Yes. Christ in you. Number two, look at verse 26. We didn't read this far yet, but look at verse 26. Everybody look at it. Read this out loud with me. Ready? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So not only, number one, does the Holy Spirit restore the presence of Christ in us, but number two, the Holy Spirit represents the person of Jesus in us. He said in that verse, He said, he shall teach you all things, and he's going to bring to your remembrance all things that I've said. He is going to represent me in you. He is going to speak about me to you. He's going to teach you what I say. He's going to teach you how I live. He's going to guide you to live like Christ. He's going to teach you to speak like Christ, to think like Christ, to walk like Christ, to talk like Christ, to act like Christ, to walk in Christ's steps. He is going to teach you to be a Christian. He's going to represent Christ in you. He is going to bring this power of Christ and bring the Spirit of Christ in you. That word comforter is the word paraclete. It's the same word that's used in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 that we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is our representative in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is his representative in earth. Now listen, young people, you got to listen to me. You got to pay attention. We are dumbing ourselves down to where we're living beneath the privilege that God wants us to have as Christians. We are a powerless, effectiveless generation because we don't understand who is in us. But the Holy Spirit brings Christ and represents Christ in you. He is speaking to you every day about the Word of Christ. He'll teach you the Word of God. He is going to give you what God says in the Word. He makes the Bible come alive. He lets you hear the voice of God. He lets you have the presence of Christ dwelling in you every day. So number one, he restores the presence of Christ in you. Number two, he represents the person of Jesus in you. But number three, look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, for bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He reminds us of the promises of Jesus. This is the ministry of our spirit. The spirit that we have, when we're walking in the Spirit, let me tell you what happens. When you get into a situation where there is temptation in your life, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and says, remember what Jesus said, be ye holy for I'm holy. Flee fornication. He begins to remind you of the word of Christ. Hey, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you about what Jesus has said? When's the last time you were aware of the presence of Christ in your life through the person of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Young people, let me tell you what we've done. We have grieved the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He dwells in you, but we have grieved him. We've grieved him. So what does that mean? Who in here is 10th, 11th, or 12th grade and you've got a junior high sibling? All right, specifically a junior high brother. Anybody got a junior high brother? You do? What's your brother's name?
Andrew.
Is he here? Okay. Hey, Andrew. What's your name?
Phoebe.
Phoebe. It's a great Bible name. So, Phoebe, you get home from Midwinter Youth Conference. Come here. Come here, bro. Look at this guy. You guys get home. You're all excited, Phoebe. You're getting home from youth conference. And your mom says, oh, hey, Phoebe, I want to hear all about what happened at Midwinter. I want to hear all about it. But before that, I just need to let you know we had some pipes break in the house, and your brother's got to stay in your room with you for like 6 months. Phoebe, would you hate that? Yeah. Yeah, you can be honest. What's your name?
Andrew.
So here comes Andrew, foot fungus and all. He's coming into your room. I mean, every junior hire's got it. I mean, they take them shoes off, and it's like, whoa. Hormones are going crazy. Feet are like strawberries. They're red. They're bright red. There's stuff growing down there we don't even want to know. Sorry, Andrew. It's just we all had to go through it, bro. He comes. You got any pets?
Yes.
Yeah? What kind of pets you have?
Dogs, rabbits, and guinea pigs and sugar gliders.
Okay, rabbits, guinea pigs, and what?
Sugar gliders.
Sugar gliders? What's a sugar glider?
It's like a miniature flying squirrel.
It's like a miniature flying squirrel. So Phoebe, guess what? Not only is Andrew coming in, but here come the dogs, the rabbits, the guinea pigs, and the sugar gliders. They're all coming in your room. And I don't know why, but somewhere along the way, he picked up a pet goat, and it's coming too. Dropping Cocoa Puffs all over the room. Phoebe, how are you going to feel about that? Not good? Are you going to want to hang out in your room all the time? You're going to be like, Andrew, all these pets are in here. What about the smell? And Andrew's going to be like, they're going to get used to it. Can I tell you what Phoebe would be? She would be grieved. She would be grieved. Well, let me tell you what happened to you. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into you. What are you making him live with? What are you bringing into your room, into your heart, into your eyes, into your ears? What is the Holy Spirit having to live with every day? See, he comes to live within you to represent Christ in you. And young people, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we make the Holy Spirit live with pornography and anger and bitterness and disobedience. Laziness. Holy Spirit's grieved to live in that. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in us to remind us of the promises of Christ, to make known Christ in us. Now, let me show you very quickly. Look over at chapter 16, and we're done. Watch this. Verse number 7. Jesus is trying to teach them, look, guys, I'm teaching you all this. Look at verse number 1. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they do God the service. He said, listen, you're going to suffer for being a Christian. They're going to persecute you. You're going to go through tough times, and I don't want you to quit. Offended means to stumble, to fall. I don't want you to fall away from what I've called you. So the Holy Spirit's coming in you to do something. Watch what he says. Verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or good or best that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. He said, you're going to see me go up, but when I go up, I'm going to send the Spirit down. When the Spirit comes down, I'm coming down with him, and I'm going to live in you. And everything that God has given me, the Spirit is going to give you. Everything that is mine will be yours. All powers given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority, all glory, all majesty, all power, all victory. And I'm giving it to you. The Holy Spirit releases the power of Christ in us. Listen to me. Listen to me. I am weary of trying to live the Christian life. There has only been one who has ever lived the Christian life. And if I'm going to live it and you're going to live it, it's going to be Him living it through us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He gave Himself for you. But when Jesus rose from the dead, He was giving Himself to you. And when the Holy Spirit came in, He was letting His life live through you. Jesus died for you so He could give Himself to you, so He could live His life through you. And it only comes when we are full of the Spirit of God. But here's the hard part. Jesus said, that we would not see God until we die. And young people, you will not see the fullness of the Spirit until you die. You say, what do you mean die? Paul said, I die daily. Every day I die. I die to self. I die to me. I come to the altar and I present my body a living sacrifice. I sacrifice me on the altar. I'm crucified with Christ. And let me just tell you, in that kind of life, in a sacrifice life, in a crucified life, in a dying life, there is pain. There's hurt. But Jesus said, if a man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And if you don't, you cannot be my disciples. You can't be a follower of Christ and be a follower of you. How can you follow Christ and follow your own desires? How can you follow Jesus and follow your own temptations? How can you follow Jesus and follow your own appetites and your own lust? How can you walk in the life of Christ and still live your life the way you want to live it? There has to be a sacrifice made. There has to be a daily, I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice. Oh God, my mind is your mind. Let the mind of Christ dwell in me. Let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus. Oh God, these eyes are your eyes. I will not behold in the evil. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh God, these ears are your ears. May they tune out to the world. And may I have ears to hear of the Spirit of God. Oh God, this mouth is your mouth. Let it not speak the vileness and the filthy corruption and communication of the world. May it not speak boastfully, but may it sing thy praises and speak thy truth and share thy word and speak love into the lives of others. May this be your mouth, oh God. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh God, I crucify that heart. I give me your heart. God, give me your heart. May the love of God dwell in me. May I boast not myself and vaunt myself, and may I not edify and strengthen myself, but God, may I give my life to others. Give me the heart of God. May I love what you love. May I be passionate about your passion. God, give me your heart. Oh God, these hands, I give these hands to you. I sacrifice them to you. God, I don't want these hands to scroll. I don't want these hands to do wicked things. I want these hands to glorify you. If I scroll, may I preach the gospel through my life. May people see Christ in my deeds and my actions. May these hands love my mother and love my father and help my brother. May these hands be useful. Oh God, give me your hands today. God, my feet are swift in running to mischief. My feet stumble in the way. My feet cannot carry me in ways of righteousness. Oh God, I sacrifice these feet. I ask for your feet today. May my feet be shod in the preparation of the gospel of your peace. May I walk uprightly. May I walk strongly and boldly and yet courageously and softly. May I walk to those in need. May I go to those who are helpless. God, help me to walk like Christ walked and follow in His steps.
Amen.
That's this crucified life.
And when you do that daily, then you can say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God,
amen,
who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Do you know the Spirit of God? Is Christ in you? Does Jesus dwell in you richly? Are you filled with Christ? You say, I don't know. Well, let me tell you. This morning, I went down to the hotel lobby. I was so thankful that I brought another shirt. I went down to the hotel lobby and I got a cup of coffee. And I took the stairs to the fourth floor. I wanted to get a little exercise. But I didn't put a lid on my coffee. And I ran up the stairs. And I had a really nice shirt on. I was running up the stairs. And I was rounding the corner and my elbow hit the rail. Dunk! And guess what came out of that cup? Coffee. Got all over me. And you know what I found? A little physics lesson. That whatever's in the cup is going to come out of the cup when it's jostled. So what comes out of you when your parents jostle you? Or a friend jostles you? Because whatever comes out of you in those moments is what you're filled with. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, let me tell you what comes out of you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Spirit-filled people don't say, I know, Mom! I'm almost done with my game. Shh, leave me alone. Spirit-filled people don't look at their little brothers and say, you drive me crazy. I'm sick of you. You're an idiot. Get out of my room. Spirit-filled people are full of love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering. By the way, those are not things that you can put on. Those are things that he has to put in. When I was a kid, when people came to our house and rang the doorbell, it was awesome. Like, we would all be just sitting at the house. We didn't have a TV in our house, so we, you know, I'm reading a book, something, playing with my Matchbox cars. And all of a sudden, bing, bong, and like, everybody is running to the door, and I can hear people like, I'll get it. You can hear my brother coming up the stairs. Brrr. Everybody's running to the door. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Now, there's a couple reasons why. First of all, there wasn't a whole lot going on in our life, and we were excited that somebody was coming over. Number two, my mom always had stuff that she had baked that were not for us. They were for company. So when company came, we were getting cake. It was awesome. We were like running to the door. Hey, come in. I don't even know these people. I'm so glad to see you. We're getting cake. It was awesome. Brother Charlie, do you remember those days? Like you're sliding in. I'll get it. Who is it? Hey. Just open the door. And you didn't have to worry like someone was going to shoot you or stab you or sell you some solar panels. If someone was knocking on your door, it was like people you knew. Today, somebody knocks on your door, and everybody's like, who is it? Shh. Do you know who's coming? No. Did you invite him any? No. Who is it? I don't even know that guy. Check the Ring doorbell. Tell him on the Ring that we're not. Johnny, shut up. Tell him we're not here. Like someone knocks on your door, it's like the Chinese are invading. Like they all just got off the balloon and came down to kill you. And then if it is somebody you know, you're like, oh man, it's these friends from church. Hey guys, come in, we're so glad that you're here. And everybody in the rest of the house is madly cleaning up. We're throwing stuff in the bathroom, sticking people under the couch. We're jamming stuff everywhere. It's a man, yeah, come in. I'm so glad you're here, have a seat. What brings you by? Oh, we're just in the neighborhood, we're just stopping by. Oh, great. You want something to drink? Yeah, I'll have some coffee. Okay. Make yourself at home. I'm going to get you some coffee. Now, can you imagine? You go in to make the coffee. You come back a few minutes later. Hey, here's your coffee. And they're like, hey, where are you? Bill, where are you? Did they leave? Look, no, his car's still here. Where is that guy? Then you hear something upstairs, so you slip up the stairs. I got Bill, and he's just going through all the rooms, and he's in your room with all your sugar gliders and guinea pigs. Let's get the guinea pigs out. Like, look at this thing. He's going through all your drawers. Like, ah, oh, Bill, what are you doing? Oh, you said make myself at home. Make myself at home, right? No, what we meant, Bill, was sit down and stay there. Don't move and go in the bathrooms. We haven't cleaned up yet. That's what we meant to say. That's what, in our house, make yourself at home means sit down. This is what we do with the Holy Spirit. We get saved and we're like, oh, come in. So glad to be saved. So glad you're in the house. Sit down. You're not allowed in my bedroom. You're not allowed in my entertainment room. I don't want you in anything. You can't have anything. Stay out of my, don't look through my phone and my iTunes. Stay out of my music. You just sit here, and I'm going to do what I want to do in the whole house, and when it's time to go to church, I'll get you, and we'll ride together, we'll go to Sunday school, we'll eat donuts and hang out, we'll come back, and you sit down, but you can't go in my relationship room. You can't go down to the game room where the friends, my friends and I hang out. You can't have anything to do with me and my friends. We're going to talk about what we want. We're going to do what we want. We're going to go where we want. Many of us as Christians have the Holy Spirit living in us, but he's not filled. Let me tell you what filled with the Spirit is. It's where we say, Holy Spirit, come in. Every closet, every corner, every drawer, every nook and cranny of my life, I want you in it. I want you to tell me how these relationships go, and I want you to lead me in this music, and I want you to lead my entertainment. I want you to lead my friendships. Holy Spirit, I want you involved in every room of my life. There's nothing buried in my tent. There's nothing hidden from your sight. I want you to fill the house, every room. And let me tell you what he'll do. He will do it, and you're going to have a life filled with Christ. Young people, we need a revival in spirit fullness. The young people who get a hold of the idea that I have God living in me and I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. But for that to happen, there has to be some sacrifice.
There's got to be some things we say. Here it is, Lord, I present this to you. And he'll take it, and he'll make you full of all the goodness of Christ. Lord, I pray today.